we begin here on The Takeaway, only on The Takeaway, with the drama in the Senate that has ended with no ending but has paused the collection of some big data by the NSA as a deadline for reauthorization of parts of the Patriot Act expire in a weekend session of the U.S. Senate. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us. So, hey, Todd, was it Cliffhanger on the Hill 9, the Battle of the Metadata Warriors, or something more original?
Did I hear Paul Giamatti in your intro there from San Andreas?
Yes, you did.
All right, so let's take Paul Giamatti's John Adams from HBO and helicopter him right into the middle of the plot of 24. He's one of the framers of the Fourth Amendment. So we'll put him in 24, the counterterrorism show, and that's about where we are maybe with the expiration of the Patriot Act. Freedoms and liberties meet security, John. Parts of the Patriot Act have expired as of last night. It was clear when Republicans came out of a conference meeting with the clock ticking down to the expiration of provisions of the Patriot Act that it became obvious that there was going to be an expiration. Listen to the Deputy Majority Leader, John Cornyn.
Well, we need to, unfortunately, at midnight, because of objections, this important program was going to go dark. And it's up to us to do everything we can to restore some ability to protect the American people through the use of actionable intelligence.
I guess Cornyn is saying there's room for a sequel on this debate.
And there's going to be one, because Congress is not going to allow Section 215, which is the business records, also known as the bulk collection provision of the Patriot Act, to permanently expire. They're going to make some changes to it. And the USA Freedom Act, which has passed the House overwhelmingly and was pre-negotiated by a White House who had to change this law because of Edward Snowden, they know that that bill is now probably going to pass in the Senate with some minor changes. But because of Senate rules and because of one senator who's running for president, that's Rand Paul, it couldn't happen tonight, and it probably can't happen till very late Wednesday night or Tuesday morning now. And that's because Rand Paul is using this moment. He's railed against the Patriot Act for his entire political career. Listen to him on the Senate floor last night.
We are not collecting the information of spies. We are not collecting the information of terrorists. We are collecting all American citizens' records all of the time. This is what we fought the revolution over. Are we going to so blithely give up our freedom?
Is Senator Rand Paul the real winner here, if you can call it that?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. He has railed against the Patriot Act for his whole career. There were 40 or 50 supporters with I Stand With Rand t-shirts sitting in the Senate gallery for this rare Sunday session as Rand Paul took to the floor. And as Rand Paul had confrontations with other senators as he tried to speak, John McCain was one of them. They got into a spat on the Senate floor. McCain is a proponent of extending Section 215, extending bulk collection, giving the NSA every authority against terrorism. I caught up with McCain off the Senate floor after he got into what amounted to a rare Senate confrontation. Listen to McCain.
Well, I think he obviously has a higher priority for his fundraising and political ambitions than for the security of the nation.
Ooh, it sounds like Senator John McCain is giving us a preview of what the GOP primary race is going to sound like a little bit.
John, he wasn't alone. There was a conference meeting last night of Republican senators. They railed against Paul for his position for allowing parts of the Patriot Act to expire because of what he can do under Senate rules. Rand Paul wasn't even in that meeting. He skipped it, and that made Republican senators even more mad. Look, these provisions of the Patriot Act will be reauthorized. As I said, it'll probably go till Tuesday, so you got, about a 72 or maybe 96-hour window where certain provisions have gone dark here, but they're coming back.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We'll always take a sequel from you, Todd.
Thanks, John.
But even if the end point of this debate on the Hill is an end to Patriot Act sections 214 and 215, there are some who think this whole ritual is more like a stealth re-endorsement of the Patriot Act in principle, if not technically in the law. With us now is Julian Sanchez, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. What does this look like, ritual or a real debate here, Julian?
Well, what we saw last night was mostly ritual. I think it was a bit of show for the upcoming presidential primaries. The real headline, I think, ought to have been something to the effect of overwhelming majority agrees to move forward with surveillance reform. after a brief and fundamentally irrelevant expiration of 2% of the Patriot Act.
What is surveillance reform as you see it?
Well, the thing that got 70-plus votes on Sunday was the USA Freedom Act. It's obvious that Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, is going to try and add some amendments to dilute that and water it down further. It's not, I think, the legislation in its current form that any civil libertarian would have written from scratch themselves, but it's not bad for what it covers. There's a lot it doesn't cover. It doesn't touch the NSA's massive collection of international communications, including American communications, under Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. It doesn't touch the incredible quantity of bulk surveillance that happens overseas under Executive Order 12333, but it does cover a range of overlapping authorities, Patriot Act authorities, some of which don't expire at all. Section 214 doesn't expire, and national security letters don't expire. 215 does, and it amends all of them to require the government to use specific selectors in asking for records. So instead of doing what they did previously with phone metadata and what they had been doing with internet data and saying, we want everything, it'll all be relevant because we'll have a big database and won't that be helpful, they'll actually have to use narrower selectors or identifiers to say, all right, these are the select, this is the phone number we're interested in, this is the email address we're interested in, and we have a showing that that is relevant, not that everything is relevant.
All right. So, Julian Sanchez, is it your position and the position of the Cato Institute, so to speak? I know you don't speak for all of them there. That the majority in America, or at least on Capitol Hill, actually supports significant reform of surveillance and elimination of some of these techniques that were exposed by Edward Snowden, and that it is the leadership that is stymieing that majority?
I think that's absolutely right. I think we saw that this this reform bill had an overwhelming majority in the House, had a strong majority in the Senate. When it failed to move forward before the recent recess, it still had, I think, 57 votes. So it was had majority support before. It just didn't make it quite to 60. And yeah, what we have, I think, at this point are a series of dead enders, effectively, who are really being a bit more Catholic than the Pope. You've got the intelligence community itself, maybe not cheering for this reform, but acknowledging that they can. That they can work with it, that bulk collection maybe hasn't been all that useful after all, and that they are going to be able to do their job with a model of collection where they're able to get things quickly, but they're able to get things specific quickly, not huge databases. The intelligence community is on board. The administration's on board. Polls suggest the American people are largely on board. And you really have, I think, a small number of leadership who had, I think, backed themselves into a corner by, right when those first Snowden revelations come out, being so full-throated and uncompromising in their defense of whatever the intelligence community said was a good idea, that they now find it embarrassing to back down and admit that that was, frankly, quite a bit of spin.
So, Julian Sanchez, what's your view as a civil libertarian? Is Edward Snowden a Patrick Henry, a Paul Revere, or is he more like, you know, one of the Rosenbergs in the view of civil libertarians? And again, the Rosenbergs actually were wrongly convicted by most accounts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I usually like to say I don't think it matters that much. He's released a bunch of documents that are obviously significant, that have transformed, really, the American surveillance debate. And it's important to look closely at what he's disclosed and decide whether that's the kind of society we want to live in. I'm glad, as someone who works on these issues and cares about knowing these things, that he did it. If you want to criticize his choice to release maybe more information than you think was absolutely necessary to inform the public, that's a fair criticism. At the end of the day, it's not whether you think Edward Snowden is a good guy or want to have a beer with him. It's about whether we live in a country with surveillance policy that is consistent with a free society.
Julian Sanchez, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Thanks so much, Julian.
Thank you.
Later this hour, is originality dead in America? We're asking you the best or worst remakes or covers you think are out there.
I gotta say, the worst movie remake ever is Footloose. Hands down, dumbest remake.
Hi, I'm Pam from Sonoma, and Sabrina with Harrison Ford replacing Humphrey Bogart is the worst remake And I have just one question. Why?
I have no answer, Pam. From Charlotte, North Carolina, Planet of the Apes. Why remake an amazing classic? I think I was 15 when I saw Charlton Heston come around the bend on that beach and realize what had happened. The remake wasn't even close. Give us your remake retake take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.